Dear Cheap Astronomy, are astronauts allowed to take their own tech gear aboard the International Space Station? Well, there are no absolute rules on this. Since most ISS astronauts also undertake research work, some have been approved to take their own tech gear, but this is probably more the exception than the rule. Any tech gear adds launch mass, and there is already a lot of tech aboard the ISS, including lots of proprietary hardware for running several proprietary operating systems and lots of proprietary software. So there's limited need for anyone to take their own off-the-shelf tablet or notebook, and those do represent a potential security hazard if they are carrying any malware. It's also the case that some electronics just can't take the higher radiation levels that are routine 400 kilometres above the Earth's surface. The traditional workhorses of the ISS have been IBM and Lenovo ThinkPads, which seem to handle the radiation relatively well, and if they didn't, having a standard platform at least meant it was easy to swap out a faulty hard disk or to reload a software disk image. Those workhorses are still there, but in recent years the growing diversity of researchers needing diverse tech to run their diverse research means that lots of combinations of both hard and software are now available on board, including Apple iPads, Surface Pros, and 3D and augmented reality headsets, just for example. Mind you, some systems that support the spacecraft aspects of the ISS still run off 086 and 386 chips, and most of their software runs on a Linux operating system. So really, there are several generations of tech, old and new, on board. Now, there's not much point taking your smartphone aboard, since there's no phone coverage, and any apps you might run on your smartphone will run just as well on an onboard tablet. Also, there's a general nervousness about some mobile phone batteries, which are known to overheat or even explode. Nonetheless, there are certified safe-for-flight smartphones on board, both Apple and Android. For example, as we've covered in the fabulous Cheap Astronomy mini-series Science on the ISS, the Spheres, the three floating robots with onboard processors and CO2 gas thrusters, also have expansion ports that you can connect a smartphone to, which will then provide the Spheres with visual data through the phone's camera, orientation data through its accelerometer, and just general extra processing power. Astronauts could also ask to take up game consoles, but it's unlikely they would unless there's some kind of research angle to it. After all, it is a full-time job being an astronaut, so you wouldn't have a lot of time for games, and it's never a good look to be gaming in the office. It's more common for astronauts to watch movies or play music, or of course listen to podcasts, and to achieve that, they can just list what they need and have those files uploaded from Earth onto an ISS server and then load those files onto one of the various onboard devices available. The ISS also has PowerPoints, though not ones you'd be familiar with. These are called UOPs, Utility Outlet Ports, designed with safety in mind so they won't create sparks, and their special cords and plugs ensure tiny flakes of molten metal don't break off the plug prongs and then float around the cabin, which is apparently a genuine risk with electrical systems in microgravity. The ISS's electrical system runs on DC power, which comes from solar panel charged batteries, delivered as 120 volts in the US segment and 28 volts in the Russian segment. It's still the case that small devices can be charged from low-voltage USB ports, although even those small devices will need to be checked for their spaceworthiness. Of course, if you are a space tourist on a short flight and on a multi-million dollar ticket, there will be less restrictions imposed, though still some. For example, no lighter fluid, pressurized containers, or firearms. It's really just like how things were in the pre-pandemic days when we all used to fly around in planes.